As morning breaks, I look to you, O God, to be my strength this day. In my wilderness, as morning breaks, I look to you, O God, to be my strength this day. O my shepherd.
Good morning and welcome to worship on this 21st day of February. It has been 50 weeks now since Washington locked down to fight the pandemic. For many of you, that means that you are 50 weeks into some form of isolation and perhaps in need of some form of marriage counseling. 50 weeks. This is our 50th week of online worship. 50 weeks in the recording studio, 50 weeks in an empty church, 50 weeks of daily content coming to you from the campus of Trinity Lutheran Church on beautiful Whidbey Island. And I thank you. I thank you for joining us. I thank you for supporting us in this strange COVID-19 season. Wherever you are this day, Okinawa or Bellevue, Indiana or Minnesota, East Coast or West Coast, you are a part of our family. We have been forged together in a pandemic furnace, and we have spent almost a year of our lives together online. Now, please know that we don't take your presence for granted. We thank God in every remembrance of you, and we recognize the profound blessing of sharing this journey with you. Now, speaking of journeys, we are on our way to Jerusalem during this Lenten season. It is the first Sunday in Lent, and this morning we are headed to the Judean wilderness with Jesus. He is still wet behind the ears from baptism, and this morning Jesus is going to come face to face with a tempter. That's right. Our theme today is temptation. And though you may be tempted right now to turn me off, I would encourage you to stay. I would encourage you not to touch that remote. No, let's head into the sanctuary. Carl is going to lead us in our opening song, a song of promise. Light dawns on a weary world. It is good that we are here. Let us go forth to worship.
Light dawns on a weary world, when eyes begin to see all people's dignity. Light dawns on a weary world, the promised day of justice comes. The trees shall clap their hands, the dry lands gush with springs, the hills and mountains shall break forth with singing. We shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, as all the world in wonder echoes shallow. Love grows in a weary world, when hungry hearts find bread and children's dreams are fed. Love grows in a weary world, the promised feast of plenty comes. The trees shall clap their hands, the dry lands gush with springs, the hills and mountains shall break forth with singing. We shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, as all the world in wonder echoes shall know. Hope blooms in a weary world, when creatures once forlorn find wilderness reborn. Hope blooms in a weary world, the promised green of Eden comes. The trees shall clap their hands, the dry
gush with springs. The hills and mountains shall break forth with singing. We shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, as all the world in wonder echoes Shalom.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Dwell with us, Lord. Come to us in bread and wine. Walk with us in the wilderness areas of our lives. And give us the courage to walk with you to Jerusalem. Blessed to be a blessing, we worship now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On a peaceful mountain in Bayview, Rich is waiting for us to read our scripture lesson this morning. Rich serves as the chair of our Trinity Lutheran Church Endowment Committee. Over to you, Rich.
On this first weekend of Lent, today's reading is from 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you for your faithful service to the church, and give our love to Carol and Kelsey. At this time, Carl and Deb and Ron are going to bless us with a piece of special music.
Winter is the oldest season. Quietly beneath the snow, seeds are stretching out and reaching, faithful as the morning glow. Carry nothing but what you must.
We need toward the light.
Let it go, shake off the dust.
We need toward the light.
Today is now, tomorrow beckons.
We need toward the light.
Keep practicing resurrection.
We need toward the light.
Shadows of this world will say, there's no hope, why try anyway? But every kindness, large or slight, shifts the balance toward the light. Waters wind and open wide,
leaning toward the light.
Don't just walk when you can fly. Justice seems in short supply.
Leaning toward the light.
Let beauty be your truest guide.
Leaning toward the light.
Shadows of this world will say, there's no hope, why try anyway? But every kindness, large or slight, shifts the balance toward the light. The prayer I pray at eventide, all left undone, be put aside. When forgiveness is hard to find, help me at least to be kind.
Lean in toward the light.
Lean in. For the light,
lean in toward the light,
lean in toward the light,
lean in toward the
light, lean in toward the light.
Our text this morning comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I would encourage you to pull out your Bible and read those first 13 verses sometime today. In that text, we encounter Jesus shortly after he was baptized. He is led, we are told, by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness alone, alone to contemplate the journey that was now before him. The Judean wilderness was a most inhospitable place. The sun was blazing hot during the day, but when it retreated, the desert would be dark and cold at night. The wilderness was scary. There were stories of mythical figures who lurked in the darkness, waiting to seize, kill, or devour humans. There were also snakes, spiders, predators, and desert pirates who lived outside of civilized society. Now, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Hunger, fear, exhaustion. And if that were not enough, he was alone. Alone is not a good place to be. Humans were meant to live, love, and serve in community. Now, I realize that many people live alone and they are happy and fulfilled doing so. But living in a house alone and being alone in life are two different things. Jesus was by himself for 40 days in a most inhospitable place. But as the story unfolds, it is clear that he was not entirely alone. No, the devil was there, the tempter, the master of deception and lies and shortcuts and bad advice. Have you met him? Have you met him a time or two in your life? Most of us have. Now, he may have been disguised. He does not tend to show up with a pitchfork in hand and horns on his head. He usually looks good. He may have looked sharp in a fraternity blazer. He may have come with an offer that was too good to be true. She may have been more understanding and attractive than your wife. Jesus was not alone. The devil was close at hand, and the devil had a variety of offers for him. Jesus, Jesus, turn this rock into bread. Turn the rock into bread and eat. There is no need for you to be hungry, Jesus. You are the Son of God, after all. Forget this nonsense about being human. Humans, they are awfully disgusting and they are weak. Take control, Jesus, of your own destiny. Turn these rocks into bread. Look, Jesus, look into my Google Earth on my computer, and I will show you all the kingdoms of the world. And if you worship me, I will give it all to you. It's a good deal. Take the deal, Jesus. What harm could it do? Of course, the promise was empty. There would be no payoff. There never is a payoff. The master of empty promises could not give what he did not have. No, it was all a lie. But he continued, "Come with me, Jesus. Come with me to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. It is a holy place, Jesus. And when we get there, you throw yourself off that pinnacle of the temple because you know that the angels will protect you lest you dash your foot against a stone. Time, space, gravity, humanity need not limit you, Jesus. You are better than that. Who told you that you needed to be human? Why would anyone want to be human? These poor, pathetic people are weak and powerless, but you are the Son of God, and never forget that, Jesus. Listen, you have to understand, I'm on your side, Jesus. I'm helping you to be all that you can be. Don't settle. You deserve more." Now, let's be very clear. The devil has no power. The only power the devil has is to deceive, to lie, to tempt those with free will to live and act contrary to God's desire, to lead them away from abundant life to a life of ruin. The devil was tempting Jesus to deny his humanity, to forget who he was and what he was called to be. He was tempting the one who humbled himself, taking the form of a human, to turn his back on his humanity, to seize power for himself, and to give up the role of a servant. But Jesus would not be led astray. He would not be led astray by lies, half-truths, and shortcuts. He would remain faithful. And the text ends by saying that the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. With that, the devil disappears from the gospel story. The opportune time would come later when Jesus was once again alone. This time it was in the Garden of Gethsemane. As Jesus was facing the cross and facing death, the devil would meet him there in the darkness and tempt him once again to deny his humanity. "Jesus, don't go to the cross. Don't go to the cross for these fools. Look over there, they're sleeping. You're going to die for them? Remember, Jesus, you're not really one of them. You are better than they are." Now, as we reflect upon these stories, it's worth noting that in the Bible, this is a familiar theme, temptation. Go back to the Garden of Eden. There the devil tempts Adam. And what does the devil tempt Adam to do? To deny his identity. To deny his place as a creature created in God's image. "Eat the apple, and then you will have knowledge. Then you will no longer be a human. You can be like God. Eat, you dumb human, eat, for you deserve better." But it was, of course, a lie. It was an empty promise. It's always an empty promise. Adam and Eve would eat, and all it would get them was shame, hiding out in the garden, paradise lost, indigestion, and death. Let's talk about temptation. We have all been tempted. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose. When we overcome temptation, we are more likely to experience abundant life and healthy relationships and a better night's sleep and a more civil society. When we lose, when we give in to temptation, then we join a sorry parade of sinners living in darkness, hiding, hoping not to be found out, desperately seeking words of forgiveness and hope, and wishing that we could turn back the clock and do it one more time and do it differently. When we lose and give in to temptation, the loss is not isolated to the offender. No, our families lose. Our spouse and children lose. And our community loses as well. Ernest Hemingway was one of the greatest writers of the 20th century. He was also one of the most colorful characters of the 20th century. And he said, "So far about morals, I know only that what is moral is what you feel good after, and what is immoral is what you feel bad after." And the contemporary writer Gwendolyn Van Dranen says, "Next time you are faced with a choice, do the right thing. It hurts everyone less in the long run." Now, I think it's very rare that we do not know right from wrong. If we listen to our heart, if we prayerfully consider how our actions or lack of action will affect others, if we ponder the life of Jesus and the Ten Commandments, then there will be very few times in our life when we will be confused about right and wrong. And another thing, I would encourage you not to make life decisions or ethical decisions in a vacuum. Don't make those decisions in the wilderness when you are alone. If the only conversation you have is with yourself, then the tempter is going to fill in the void and join you in that conversation. That is where community comes in. That is where your church family comes in. Let me put it this way. If you're contemplating cheating on your taxes, then call someone you know and respect and run it by them before you do. And if you're contemplating having an affair, why don't you just pick up your phone and call me first and we can talk about it. And if you're tempted to cut in the ferry line or to cut in any other line before your turn, then you should just ask yourself if the foot washing Jesus would do that. The tempter still comes around. The tempter leads us to believe somehow that the rules don't apply to us. The tempter says, "You must have misunderstood the directions. You deserve better. Don't settle, don't sacrifice, don't go without, don't listen to the laws of our nation or the wisdom of 2,000 years. Come on. There's no need for you to be a part of a human community. They are a bunch of losers. No, you can be like God yourself. You can write your own laws." I think it's rare that we do not know right from wrong. And if we really care, it's not hard to find someone who will help to point us in the right direction. So the next time you are faced with a choice, do the right thing. It hurts everyone less in the long run. The great American president, Teddy Roosevelt, said, "In any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing." Now, we live in a beautiful but fallen world, and sometimes we have a variety of good choices before us. Chicken or fish? What music would you like to listen to tonight, honey? Beethoven or Queen? We live in a beautiful but fallen world, and sometimes we only have bad choices. Radiation, chemo, or amputation? Which will it be? Go out in a pandemic or stay at home? I was reading the accounts of concentration camp survivors last week,
In one account, an 11-year-old girl and her mother tumbled out of a cattle car at Auschwitz. The dark ash of human remains was heavy in the evening air. They stood in line and waited. They waited to approach Dr. Mengele, who was dressed to the nines. When they finally got up there, he asked the young girl, "Is this your mother or your sister?" She hugged the one who gave her life and said, "My mother." And with that, Mengele said, "Then she goes that way and you go that way. One to the gas chamber and one to the barracks." She was now more than 90 years old, and she said that she spent her entire life wishing that she had that one moment to live over again. There may be times in life when we only have bad choices, and yet a choice must be made. Soldiers, doctors, first responders, refugees, and the politically oppressed face such decisions each and every day. Sometimes we have inconsequential good choices, and sometimes we must choose the lesser of two evils. In a fallen world, the lesser of two evils is sometimes the only choice we have. But let's be very clear. Cheating for your own convenience or security or financial gain or pleasure is not the lesser of two evils. It's just cheating. And the harvest that follows will be less than God intended. We will most often in life reap what we sow. A weakened marriage, lost children, a damaged reputation, or a society that is unable to care for its most vulnerable. Now, this might not be your favorite topic. I don't think it's my favorite topic either. And you may be tempted to turn this sermon off right now and to watch cat videos on YouTube. I get it. I get it. Really, I do. I don't always like the looks of the one who looks back at me in the mirror. But this is an invitation for us to live differently, to live and love better, to avoid the pitfalls that are bound to come to us when we forget that we are simply creatures made in the image of God. We are called to follow Jesus, to follow the one who came to serve, not to be served, the one who came to wash feet and sacrifice his very life for us. How then shall we live? That's a big question. But let's just start here. Keep yourself in the path of the gospel. Never make ethical or life decisions in isolation. And the next time you are faced with a choice, do the right thing. It hurts everyone less in the long run. Amen.
Took a walk outside of my walking, stepped inside another shoes, walked the dusty borders between us, paths I'd never chosen to choose. How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live?
Oh God,
how then shall I live? Heard a sound outside of my listening, felt the living hum of the ground, waited on the voice of the Spirit, singing with its new old sound. How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live?
Oh God,
how then shall I live? Saw the world outside of my looking, gazed upon the eyes of its soul, held the hopes and fears of tomorrow, found the pieces making the whole. How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live,
O God?
How then shall I live? Took a step outside of my walking, found within the beat that we share. Walked with you the length of a lifetime, and made of life a living prayer. How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I
live,
O
God?
How then shall I live? How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live?
How shall I live?
How then shall I live,
O God?
How then shall I live?
We lift our prayers to God at this time. The Gandarius family will lead us. Let us pray.
Loving God, we prepare our hearts to listen as we call on you.
God of light, just as Jesus was led into the wilderness, we know that we all have our wilderness times when we cannot see the way, when we're not sure what to do. Make us ready for this Lenten journey by replacing the fear in our hearts with a sense of joy and a challenge of self-discovery and discipleship. Remind us that in service to you and helping others, we will also find ourselves made more fully whole. Lord, in your mercy. God of our hope, let us bind the wounds of the brokenhearted and heal the sick. We speak or remember now the names of our friends and family members and of those in situations in which healing and comfort are needed. Let us remember that we, too, stand in need of prayer and healing. Make us ready to receive your grace and your love. Lord, in your mercy.
God of the journey, empower us to follow in the footsteps of the saints and believers who have traveled before us. May their lives draw us closer to Christ so that we may not grow weary on our journeys, but be strengthened by the hope that is ours. Lord, in your mercy.
God of justice, open the ears of our world leaders to the cries of the dispossessed and powerless. Lead them to act in just and merciful ways so that they might strive for equitable distribution of power and resources among people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
God of power, we know that in you there is no darkness at all. Guide all those in power to the light of understanding, to see that all people are your children, and all deserve to live in peace, free from fear, hunger, and war. Let us love one another. Lord, in your mercy.
God of the future, you sculpted a people for yourself out of the rocks of the wilderness and fasting. Help us as we take up your invitation to prayer and simplicity, that the discoveries of these 40 days may sharpen our hunger for the feast of your holy friendship and whet our thirst for the life you offer. Revitalize our congregation through this time apart, that we may return at length with renewed joy, love, and passion for a life lived in you. Now into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a greeting of peace with someone today. Let's break the isolation and loneliness by reaching out to someone today.
May the peace of the Lord be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
We have just a few announcements this morning. The first is that we have no abiding place ultimately here on this earth. We lost two of our dear saints this week. Tom Bast died this week, and Louise Edward. You'll see their pictures this morning, and we remember them as dear saints who journeyed with us, and we know that death will not have the last word. We will see them again on the other side. Every Wednesday during Lent, you'll be receiving from the church office a Lenten video message that you can watch as you reflect on the journey that we are all making towards Jerusalem, Holy Week, and Easter. You should know, too, speaking of Easter, that we are making plans now to worship on Easter morning in our parking lot that Sunday, April 4th. We'll give you lots more information on that as we get closer. In addition, we are making plans to begin gathering in person for worship once again on Sunday mornings. Stay tuned for that information as well. I'm going to turn it over now to Deacon Amy, who's going to share a few announcements with us. Deacon Amy?
Thank you, Pastor Jim. A lot of great educational opportunities coming up at Trinity. Every Sunday morning at 9:30, Adult Education meets on Zoom. This morning, Felicia Lindis will be speaking about running a preschool during a pandemic. A lot of interesting things happening down the hallway. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we have opportunities for youth to gather and learn. This Sunday, confirmation students are meeting. Next week, it will be time for our Sunday school students to gather. We also meet every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock with our middle school students for fun and games on Zoom. If you would like to have your email address added to any of these invitation lists, please contact us in the church office. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you all for your support. We're going to move now towards the celebration of Holy Communion. So if you haven't had a chance already, please set up your home altar at this time. A candle, a Bible, perhaps, bread, wine, crackers, and juice, common elements that come to us with the promise of God. Yes, we are loved, and we are forgiven, and we're never alone as we move to the table of Holy Communion. We gather now at a table that welcomed our parents and grandparents, a table that welcomes you no matter where your journey has taken you. There's only one host. It's not the church. It's not a pastor. The one host is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who invites you to come. As we do so, we remember a Thursday night in an upper room in Jerusalem. It was the night in which he was betrayed. Our Lord Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to those who were gathered with him, those who were about to betray him, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Jesus Christ has promised to be present with us. Let us pray now as he taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ and the blood of Christ, the gifts of God for the people of God, all are welcome. Please share the meal together.
We are table-bound from the places in our lives, and we come within our troubles and our fears. And we know that we will find a table dressed with bread and wine
where we can lay aside our heartaches and our tears. At a table of your love, O God, the story of our lives restored, and with your never-failing grace, we move forward from this place to rebuild and renew this world in your name, O living God. Just as we have been, we now come to you again, knowing well the very trials of our days. Through each failure or disgrace, we are assured of your embrace, and we are freed to move on living in your ways. At a table of your love, O God, the story of our lives restored, and with your never-failing grace, we move forward from this place to rebuild and renew this world in your name, O living God. One by one we come to this journey just begun, picking up the pieces, living life anew. We're awakened to your call, extending a hand to those who fall, so Christ in us can build a living faith in you. At a table of your love, O God, the story of our lives restored, and with your never-failing grace, we move forward from this place to rebuild and renew this world in your name, O living God.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you now and always. In God's grace. Amen. And now as you depart or as you stay home, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our closing hymn from the Hillbilly Shakespeare, Hank Williams, I Saw the Light.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow. Just like a blind man I wandered along, worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord.
saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Stay home, go out safely, be patient and kind always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are one day closer. Until next time.
Once again, your hand has lifted us. Once again, your gift has saved. Once again, your meal has strengthened us, and you've called us each by name. We came broken to the table, we came limping through the door, and with words of grace you've lifted us, and you've sent us as before. Once again your hand has lifted us, once again your gift has saved. Once again your meal has strengthened us, and you've called us each by name. You've called us to be witness to the loving sacrifice, to bring this gift to everyone, to share in this new life. Once again your hand has lifted us, once again your gift has saved. Once again your meal has strengthened us, and you've called us each by name. You've called us each by name.